This past Monday, the Democratic organization in Iowa had one job, count the votes. It's not like the job was a last-minute surprise. They knew well in advance when they'd be called on to do it, yet we saw what happened. The claim is that a coding issue suddenly sprung up, creating the problem that we all witnessed. With us now to take a look at this is a Harvard graduate certified web development professional, executive VP, and general counsel with the Florida Education Fund, and author of the book, Learn to Program with App Inventor, A Visual Introduction to Building Apps. Lyra Logan, how are you today, Lyra?
Good. How are you, Chris? Thanks for having me.
Excellent to talk with you about this, because what's being presented as this deep, detailed, confusing issue really isn't. I was saying to Lyra before we got started here that I've got basic knowledge of HTML, and it's sort of related to what app construction is all about. These coding issues don't spring up. We're not talking about a living, breathing item that can all of a sudden get sick. It's either there at the start or it doesn't appear. Is that right?
That's right. Coding issues are caused by coders, the computer programmers. And the only way, and of course, we're all going to make them because, you know, probably in this instance, they are programming the app using that typing tedious lines of code. And the only way is to take time and test fully and properly, which doesn't look like they did here, to catch those bugs that were showing up from all news accounts earlier in the week, and then a month ago on testing. So just wasn't quite ready for production, it doesn't seem.
Just for the person listening who may not be aware of how coding that way is, it's either perfection or isn't. It's in effect taking a sentence, written sentence, and replacing a comma with a period. Completely will change the sentence and maybe even not make the sentence work. Is that a fair analogy?
Very fair. I mean, that one of the errors you can make, and common errors in coding, is called a syntax error. And that's when you simply make an error in the spelling or the quote-unquote grammar that we use when we type those lines of code. So the programmer may have missed a letter or typed the wrong character, and that would make the app not run, or you know, it could have been a variety of other types of errors, but something was wrong with that code that made the app crash or not do what it was supposed to do that could have been caught in testing.
And by the way, Nevada had planned to use the same app when it's their time up at the plate, but they've obviously chosen to go a different route. When it comes to apps, are there limits? Like with streaming, for example, you're depending on how strong your streaming apparatus is or unit is, you can have as few as a couple of dozen, or you can have it in the thousands, depending on what your equipment is using. Are apps limited in that same way?
They are. And so one of the types of testing that you would do when you're going to put an app into production is kind of load or performance testing. So you want to be able to test that app under extreme and non-normal operating conditions or environments to see how it's going to respond, and then also to let you know the stress level at which, you know, the performance is going to significantly degrade. So that's one of the things you'd be looking for in a full comprehensive test as well, is just how many people can be getting on there at the same time, you know, what the system can accommodate, and those kinds of issues. Yeah.
Although in this case, we weren't talking about an extraordinary number. I think there's around 1,100 districts or precincts in Iowa. And if you can't build an app that can handle 1,100 users, not even on it at the same time, then you might want to start thinking of another career right about now.
Right. And so I think because there was a relatively small number of users at stake is why they, I guess, somehow felt comfortable. I don't know if you heard this, Chris. They deployed or distributed the app on a beta testing site. So this is a couple of beta testing sites where we as developers go on and we're still testing. The app isn't finished. And that's how they distributed the actual app, not through the Play Store or the, you know, Apple App Store. So that was a big red flag, should have been, that it wasn't quite ready, because they're doing it in, you know, still in testing on the testing sites.
Well, some people were saying too, some of the precinct captains were saying they would download the app and get an error message, which they reported to the state headquarters. Isn't that an obvious warning sign too, that something's not right?
Yeah. Yes, that's a warning sign, and it probably was because the apps were not considered, they're considered non-market apps because they weren't on the Apple Play Store or the Google Play Store. So, you have to, I don't know if you've ever downloaded an app like that, you know, you want to be cautious when you do that because it makes you bypass your security settings and say, yes, I'll take an app from an unknown source. So you'd be very careful with that, and that is a red flag.
Well, when that happens, doesn't the pop-up or the window identify the source? Like if you're going to update your flash on a tablet or laptop, you'll get the warning sign, depending on how your security is set, saying you're updating from, and it will say Adobe or whatever the manufacturer of the download is. Do you want to continue? Yes or no? Do you get that same info in an app warning?
I've gotten those, which are very helpful and make me very comfortable to proceed. But there are some which just say you're downloading an app from an unknown source.
Right.
And so that, I know maybe you've encountered those too. And then that makes then you want to be extremely careful that you know exactly what it is that you're, you know, downloading to your phone or your computer or any other of your devices, for sure.
So with Lyra Logan, who is the author of Learn to Program with App Inventor, a visual introduction to building apps. She's also Vice President General Counsel with the Florida Education Fund. FEFonline.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. As far as app security, I mean, you have security to prevent you from downloading something poisonous. Can apps be hacked?
They can be hacked, absolutely. And so another type of testing, which may or may not have been done in this instance, is penetration testing. So we call it pen test. And that's where, particularly if you've got sensitive data that the app is dealing with, you would do an authorized simulated cyber attack just to find the gaps and go ahead and fix them. But you certainly would want to do that in an app like this one that in Iowa that was dealing with data and sensitive data, just to make sure any vulnerabilities are fixed before the app's released for use.
Well, certainly in light of this, no one is going to be thinking of hiring the group Shadow, which is not exactly a smart name to name your company if you wanted to use something for public consumption. You might want to think of someone better for their marketing team first and foremost before they try something else. But be that as it may, as you write about with your book, Learn to Program with App Inventor, talk about how user-friendly App Inventor is for the intermediate or even the novice when it comes down to programming.
It really is extremely user-friendly because what it's going to help you do is eliminate some of those the typing that you would usually do, all those lines of code. It eliminates that and just leaves you to your creativity and learning computer programming concepts and how apps work in a drag and drop block-based app building program. So you're not typing that code, but you're actually dragging in the blocks to code it. So it makes it much more simple and a little and kind of not entirely bug-free. You're always going to have some things you're going to have to fix when you're creating apps and these types of programs, but it allows you to quickly put together really sophisticated apps that have the cool mobile technology. So I walk you through creating a type-free texting app, a couple of great games, a bus tracking app that uses your GPS, and even an app where you can take a selfie and virtually try on shades. So you get to use the cool mobile technology in a more stress-free, less frustrating way than actually typing all that code.
It sounds like it's pretty much like some of the web hosting companies have web design options too. You can do a drop and drag instead of HTML or hiring a web designer. That's a similar concept.
Very much the same concept. You know, just go on and if you want a box here, you just drag it in as opposed to having to type the HTML that you and I could probably get away with. Yeah.
How about the two different platforms that smartphones exist on? Do you have to tailor an app to be compliant with both platforms?
You do. And in fact, this book, the Learn to Program with App Inventor, currently it's creating apps just for the Android system. There are other ways to create apps for iOS, but this wouldn't be one of them. But yes, you do have to tailor for the two app stores, Google App Store versus or Google Play Store versus the App Store. There are differences in those apps.
It really is fascinating, and there's really no limit to what you can create an app for, is there? I mean, short of, you know, any legalities that may come into play, but as far as wherever your imagination takes you, you can probably create an app that will suit what you're looking to do.
Yes, you can. And if and so if you've got an idea for an app, what I would do if I really wanted to get an app out into the market is just go to the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store, see what's out there, see if it's being done the way I think it should. And if it's not, App Inventor would allow you to put together a super quick prototype. This is the only time you do something super quick, just to get something working, get it out to friends, see if it meets the need, and then come back, tailor it, and do all that extensive testing that you must do and get it up on the Play Store or the App Store.
And maybe one day you'll be counting votes for a state somewhere in a primary election or caucus. Again, it's Learn to Program with App Inventor, a visual introduction to building apps, something really fun, and who knows, it might propel you into a whole new career in tech and development, which you might not have thought about, because playing around with something like this can create an interest, especially with someone younger. And, well, like they say, you just never know where a start may wind up being your finish. So check it out. Learn to Program with App Inventor. Also check out the work of the Florida Education Fund at fefonline.org. Lara Logan, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Chris.